I remember back in the 60s and 70s, you had the battle of those that were trying to rent you cars. It was Hertz, number one, second to none. Avis, number two, always trying harder. Remember those commercials to the airport? It was Arnold Palmer, and yes, he hadn't become Udiscrazia, Ashanda yet. O.J. Simpson, you know, jumping over the carriage containers, etc. But that was emblazoned in our minds. It was always a battle between, number one, they got all the attention, and number two, they only got the crumbs. And that typically goes on in the gang world that many of you are not necessarily immersed in. I certainly am, because I've had to deal with all kinds of gangs as the leader of the Guardian Angels for 39 years, both locally, regionally, and globally. And two of the groups that I've had to come across on a regular basis were on their Harley Davidson motorcycles. First, obviously, the Hells Angels, because they get all the attention. There have been movies made of them. In fact, you used to be able to go to the Deuce 42nd Street and see three flicks, Hells Angels Forever, where every male actor in Hollywood seemed to seek a passage into doing A-grade top-shelf movies by first performing in Hells Angels movies, whatever the grade of movie. But you could get three of those flicks for $5. And a lot of people, even blacks and Hispanics, that the one percenters, the Hells Angels hated, wanted to imitate the Hells Angels. But here in the East Coast, particularly the Northeast sector, there has been a war going on for quite some time between Hertz, the Hells Angels, that are located, their main headquarters on the East Coast is on 3rd Street on the Lower East Side in Manhattan, and the Pagans, who are best known for occupying parts of southern New Jersey, the Jersey Shore, and especially the Philadelphia area. But you probably know quite a bit about the Hells Angels, and very little about the Pagans. But the Pagans, oh, they've made it very personal to me on two fronts. I remember when I was first organizing the Guardian Angel chapter in Philadelphia in 1981-82, outside of St. Rita's Parish on South Broad Street, just a few blocks from Center City City Hall. And there I was walking to visit with Father McNally, who was sponsoring our effort right out of the assembly area of the church. And across the street, you had all these Philadelphia cops lined up on their Harley motorcycles, because back then, Frank Rizzo, rough and tough Frank Rizzo, who went on to become mayor, was a hardcore police commissioner, and he wanted no part of the Guardian Angels. So he was eyeballing me and eye fornicating me every step of the way after I pounded the hound and came to the Greyhound bus station in downtown Philly. But surrounding me as I attempted to enter St. Rita's Parish were the most prominent biker gang in the area, the Pagans. And there were 12 of them. And they surrounded me on their Harley-Davidson motorcycles. They were wearing their patches, their rockets. And obviously, a lot of the guys looked like they were one step out of prison. And they told me to take off my colors being the red beret and the red emblazoned T-shirt with the Guardian Angels logo. I said, no way. You're going to have to take it from me. And they all had a great belly laugh, got back on their Harley Davidsons, because they tried to scare the shit out of me. They tried to have me have an X-Lax attack. But these were the kinds of tricks that the Pagans would use on a regular basis. If it hadn't been for Philadelphia's finest being there, who were also eye-fornicating me and mad-dogging me, they might well have attempted to physically remove my colors, and who knows where that would have led to. So it was personal for me, especially as a talk radio show host, when I learned that 7 people were indicted in the slaying of a New Jersey radio show hostess right in Atlantic City, whose murder was arranged by her late husband to prevent her from exposing a drug ring he was running with the outlaw biker gang. That's right, the Pagans.
Through our investigation, we determined that a long-term alliance between members of the Pagan Outlaw Motorcycle Gang and James Kaufman was created for the mutual financial gain through the use of Kaufman's medical practice for illegal drug distribution.
Now, a lot of these biker gangs, not just the Pagans and the Hells Angels, their craft, their trade is coming up with bathtub methamphetamines, or they muscle for other drug dealers, or they're couriers of drugs, or they're sellers themselves. And the pagans are the most infamous in that southern New Jersey and South Philly area. Listen to the president of the Philadelphia chapter of the pagans describe how they live.
99% of the people in this world live by society's rules, obligations, and socially accepted behavior. 1% do not. 1% are outlaws. The world, this is what we live by.
This is what we live by, and this is how they take care of business.
When the pagans go to take care of business, they go to take care of business. Repercussions don't matter.
Repercussions don't matter. And their whole focus is overcoming the international attention that their nemesis, their enemies for life, the Hell's Angels of America, receive as opposed to the pagans. And here's one of the pagans describing how they go out and try to usurp the Hell's Angels.
I went to his house and said, listen, we all want you to prospect. We want you to be pagan. We want you to make sure that you know we're at war with Hell's Angels.
And what they mean is by going out, they go to smaller motorcycle clubs, motorcycle gangs, and they intimidate them. They tell them, hey, you're going to start earning our rockets, our patches. That's right. You're going to have to, quote, intern and become a pagan. And they say, what are you talking about? We got our own motorcycle club. We got our own motorcycle gang. And they say, you do now. But if you don't join us, you won't have a gang. You won't have a motorcycle club. In fact, you may no longer be living. So there's a lot of intimidation involved. In fact, an FBI special agent, Daryl Dones, explains what defines them, the violence that they commit.
Defines them is their propensity to do violence. They're a very violent group. They're a nomadic group. They are to themselves quite introverted as a gang. A lot of antisocial behavior.
And you hear the key. They're a nomadic group. Now, even though the pagans are based mostly in southern New Jersey, along the Jersey Shore, Philadelphia, Delaware, they have begun to encroach in Hell's Angels' turf, and they've engaged in beatdowns and shootouts and various confrontations in northern New Jersey. So that's what he means by calling them nomads, because they're ready to move from place to place at a moment's notice. And this is the president of the Philadelphia chapter of the pagans, again, speaking about pagan rules.
Pagans live by pagan rules. Don't want to be judged by law enforcement. Don't want to answer to society's laws. Pagans answer to their own code.
All right, so let me see what these numbnuts, these pagans, have to follow. Rule number one.
First rule is Mother Club is God.
The Mother Club is God. So that means forget JC, forget Hashem, forget Buddha, forget Allah. You bow to the Mother Club. And then there is the gang code in the streets of the inner city. Guys who get busted, mostly young black guys who speak pig Latin. But the pagans, who are mostly all white, no blacks, some Hispanics, because they hate blacks, they got their own way of speaking when all of a sudden they get collared by 5-0.
Argo means Argo f*** yourself, and none you means none of your f***ing business. What those words are used for is, for an example, we get grabbed by the cops. They bring us in. The cops start questioning guys. We just yell Argo none you to each other, which means we don't talk. The answer to every question is Argo none you. Argo f*** yourself, none of your f***ing business. It's a code between each other.
Now, when they do flip, and pagans do flip like other criminals, regardless of the fact that you're a biker gang, a street gang, or a member of organized crime, they have to go into witness protection because the pagans will make it their business to hunt you down till the day you die. They believe in the street code that snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. But here is their code for how you deal with life in and of itself.
Club or its members come first. Business usually comes second. The bike usually comes third. The dog comes fourth. And the woman comes last.
The woman becomes less. And this is in the Me Too movement. So think about it. They're misogynist. They're sexist. They're feared by many and idolized by some, many of whom, under normal circumstances, would have nothing to do with sexism or people who are misogynistic. But here's the prez of the Philadelphia chapter of the Pagans explaining that he's not part of the Me Too movement. In fact, he's not just a sexist. He's not just a misogynist. He's a slave owner because they own their women.
Women have a property patch, if they're lucky enough to have a property patch. The property patch says property of Jimmy Day. I mean, that's my property. It's like my motorcycle or my car. It's my property. I own that. I do with it what I want. You buy a car and want to paint it, you paint it. I got a f***ing property and I want to turn her out to the bros to f***. We f*** her.
That's right. And they'll pull a train on her. Especially a younger woman who was trying to earn her patch and enter the ranks and being somebody's motorcycle mama. Imagine every motorcycle gang member in the Pagans will end up screwing her every which way. Even though the chapter leader, in this case, Jimmy D, that might be his female slave, his motorcycle mama. They view women as complete property to be swapped around, traded around, because it's all part of the Pagan family. Now, you would say, boy, that goes beyond being misogynist and sexist. And then here's the FBI agent saying how tough and rough the Pagans are because they may take a licking, but they'll come back ticking.
I don't see them relinquishing that, not to other rival gangs no time soon. They'll stay and they'll fight to the end. I don't see them turning tail and running.
Now, when you have motorcycle gangs, oftentimes law enforcement is a dollar short and a day late. And I'll explain that scenario. You'll have the FBI trailing them if they cross state lines, which many of them do. The bikers will get on their Harleys and they'll start traveling. In this case, the Pagans will travel from Maryland to Delaware to Pennsylvania, throughout southern New Jersey, up the Jersey Shore. And now they're trying to invade the Hells Angels turf in northern New Jersey. Likewise, the Hells Angels, they view their turf as being every mile of all asphalt in America. They view it that they are the prominent biker gang from East Coast to West Coast, from Corpus Christi right on up to Seattle, Washington, over to Lewiston, Maine. And even though they don't necessarily have chapters or clubs in many of those areas, they think they're number one, second to none. So the cops, you have the local cops, you have the state cops, you have special gang task forces, and you have the FBI. And a lot of times they don't share information because they're like squirrels collecting nuts. So it allows these motorcycle gangs to prosper and grow. The Pagans, about 10 years ago, had many of their local chapter leaders locked up. And they were housed in correctional facilities throughout Pennsylvania, definitely in Rahway up in the north of New Jersey, and especially Trenton State in the southern part of New Jersey. And they mind their P's and Q's. They develop the first percentage in jail. This is where the white separatists. And they went back to back, belly to belly, fought off the blacks, fought off the Hispanics, fought off the other motorcycle gangs who would challenge them, and were able to get new conscripts, new recruits. And now that many of those leaders have done their time, they're out, they're about, they're back on their Harleys, and they haven't given up committing those ill-gotten deeds. So they've made a pledge to each and every of their Pagan members that they want to double their membership, and they want to create agita for the Hells Angels. They want to control all of New Jersey. So the next step for them is to mount onto their Harleys and engage in groups of 50, 100, 150, 200 or more, ride directly into Hells Angels turf, whether it's in Elizabeth where they have a clubhouse, or Newark, or Bergen County, or Union County, or Hudson County, wherever a chapter may exist, wherever there are those trying to earn their patches and rockets to join the Hells Angels America, and just drive them absolutely out of their minds. And this will cause retaliation. So then the Hells Angels, what are they going to do? They're going to have a meeting in their headquarters. They're going to mount their Harleys, and they are immediately going to attack the pagans wherever it is that they're gathered up or have their chapter headquarters. Now, do you think that law enforcement has a role in all of this? You better believe it. Oftentimes, they go undercover. It's part of what you call entrapment. First, they go undercover. So let's say they join the pagans. They believe that in helping the pagans develop members and to beef up their numbers and strengthen themselves, it will act as kryptonite towards the Hell's Angels who are stronger in the region. It's almost like what the Israelis did years ago when Yasser Arafat was the head of the Palestinian Authority. It was a secular group of terrorists. And the Israelis, through their Mossad, decided to strengthen the ranks of Hamas, which was a religious organization of Palestinian fanatics. And then both groups ended up battling one another. So I believe, in having talked with a number of law enforcement officials, that they don't necessarily go out and try to destroy all these biker gangs, because, boy, that's a lot of heavy lifting. That's a lot of arrests. That's a lot of covert activity. That's a lot of undercover activity. And that's a lot of caseloads that they'd have to bring into federal court and state courts. Rather, what they would prefer to do is to strengthen the pagans now, who are Avis, to the Hells Angels Hertz right here in the Northeast sector. So all of a sudden, when you see 200 pagans in a caravan of motorcycles coming up the Jersey Shore and the Palisades Parkway or along the New Jersey Turnpike, you know that the police are aware of their movements. And they may even have covert operators inside, agent provocateurs who are empowering the pagans to weaken the Hells Angels. Unfortunately, this has been the way for law enforcement for many years in dealing with biker gangs. The Hells Angels are extraordinarily strong, but you will see a resurgence of pagan strength, of pagans' leadership, of pagans' membership, of pagans going out there and forcing smaller clubs and smaller motorcycle gangs to join their ranks throughout Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and especially southern New Jersey, so that they can push their way into northern New Jersey and then threaten the dominance that the Hells Angels have had out of their international headquarters out of the Lower East Side on 3rd Street in Manhattan.